The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Radio Free New York. We're here in the WYSL studios with Bob Savage.
Hello, all. How are we doing?
And for our listeners online, if you guys comment in, we are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Comment in with your questions, your ideas, your thoughts. And also, feel free to call us. Call us on the show. We've got a call-in number. That is 585-346-3000. I see people are actually already starting to join the live stream here. Nathan and Dan are in and active, and so is Jim. So that's picking up nicely. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. And, you know, something came up over the weekend, and I hadn't heard a whole lot about it. I heard little spurts of it. I saw some posts about it on social media. I didn't see anything in the news. I didn't see any articles. And maybe it's just because I don't watch much television. But have
you're not in the television demographic, which is, you know, like 70 to dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's very true. Yeah. No, I definitely, if I were to look for entertainment, I'm going to be on streamed media, whether it's Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, something like that. But have you heard about the yellow vests in Paris?
Yeah.
So that I found really interesting.
They're predicting we're going to have our own yellow vests here before long.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today a little bit. I was looking at this, so I want to start by giving all the listeners a little bit of background about what this yellow vest thing is. You might have heard a friend say, oh, did you see the yellow vest or something? You don't know what they're talking about. First, let me start about what the vest is. So those of you who won't be able to see the live stream, I'm going to stream some pictures here of what's going on in France right now. But for the rest of you, in France, if you own a vehicle and you drive, you're required by law to have one of those bright, they call them yellow, but I think they're more of a green.
It's a fluorescent greenish yellow.
Yeah. One of those bright green, bright yellow safety vests in the vehicle. And I think what that vest is for safety, so that if you get pulled over or your vehicle's disabled or whatever, you can put that on so you don't get hit. But before I explain that further, it looks like we have Nathan on the line.
Yes, calling from Cooperstown. Hey, how you doing, Nathan?
Doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Andrew, it was nice seeing you this weekend down in Delaware County. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what we discussed down there as a group with home rule, which is something that has picked up quite a bit of steam, at least in Delaware County. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, yes. Actually, in fact, I planned on talking about that a little bit later in the show. Are there any things you want me to touch on when I bring it up?
Nothing really in particular, just kind of it's an idea that I feel a lot of people in the Liberty Movement haven't heard too much about. And so if you're going to talk about it, then never mind. I'll wait and listen off air then.
All right, great. Yeah, and if I miss anything, feel free to call in again or comment again and set me straight.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Yeah, and as always, guys, please, if there's something you want to hear me talk about, please call in. I'd love to hear from you guys. So these yellow vests, they're required by law. I'm not sure what the penalty is if you don't have one. You know, I don't know if it's a fine, a ticket, whatever, a day in jail, who knows. But by law, if you have a vehicle on the road in France, you have to have this yellow vest. So what happened is the French government has decided to yet again increase taxes. And I didn't realize how much of a problem they had over here in France. Right.
With regard to what?
With taxes.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I think a gallon of gas over there, I think, is $7.29. And I think that half of that is taxes.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's crazy. So I did a little bit of research this morning as I'm listening to this. For those of you guys who don't know, what I try to do, I've been establishing a routine in the morning where I've been focusing on some physical fitness, trying to just get myself back into shape, feel better, feel healthier. And while I'm exercising, I'm watching news if I can, usually through YouTube, or I'll go through some articles. And I couldn't believe that what they have in France right now is 43% of the population is paying taxes.
Not dissimilar to us.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting because I was trying to find the numbers for New York, and they seem to be very well hidden because I wanted to compare them. But France consistently, on property tax, income tax, fuel tax, they're way above the average compared to the EU. They didn't compare it to the US, which I was really hoping to see what those numbers were. But they're consistently higher than their neighbors in the EU. And, 43% is carrying the burden for everybody.
So, yes, and the marginal tax rate that they pay it's just stupendous.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually far worse than ours. But in terms of the percentages, I think, don't we have, 48, 49% of people pay income tax?
Yeah, I was trying to find the number so I could talk about it, and I couldn't find, a clear number. So I'm going to keep looking for that for another show, and I'll make a separate follow-up show about what we pay here in taxes, because I did see some really interesting economists say that, about 80% of what Americans spend is taxes. And it kind of breaks down, your property tax and your income tax and tax on gas and tax on this and that actually ends up being about 80% of your income. But I want to understand it before I really explain it to the audience.
Well, the confiscatory nature of a lot of them is also a component that usually doesn't make the calculus. So, for example, let's just consider property tax for a moment. If you don't pay your property taxes, what happens is the taxing entity, the county or whatever, school district, forecloses on your property.
Yep.
And they just grab your property and they sell it at auction for whatever they can get for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't get the equity back of what you own in that property. Mm-hmm. So you've been, let's say that you've been paying taxes on it for 20 years. You fall upon hard times, maybe a health problem, maybe a job loss, business failure, whatever, and you lose your property, you don't get your money back that you've invested into that property. They just steal your property and keep all the money.
Yep. No, I agree. It's terrible. And in my opinion, wrong. I think one of the worst taxes we have, period, is property tax, because it doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter how much money you spend, you have to pay property tax. And if you're without income, then you lose your home. It's just it's terrible. It's awful. It's wrong. I'm just so opposed to probably if you lined up all the taxes in a row and I could get rid of one of them, property tax number one on my list. It's definitely got to go, especially for people who retire, who are on that set fixed income. And then all of a sudden a few of the properties in their neighborhood improve. The general property value rises. Now they can't afford to live in their homes anymore. They've got to do something like a reverse mortgage to hopefully make sure that they don't end up homeless, essentially, or they do end up homeless, or the family ends up having to move in, or they put them in a home, or it's just a bad, bad situation caused by government. I mean, just awful, awful. So back to France. So they've got these insane taxes. The government proposes, after pushing their population really, really hard to switch to diesel vehicles, to increase the diesel tax. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. People took to the streets. This has been going on for 4 weeks now. 4 weeks. People put on these yellow vests, went out to the street to protest. And it's getting pretty violent. I mean, people are really, really angry with their government. And what's worse is the government hasn't really responded. Their president hasn't made a public appearance in 2 weeks. He's just kind of hiding in their equivalent of the White House behind locked doors.
And all these tourist attractions that are, you think of them as iconic French attractions,
yep.
The Louvre,
the Eiffel Tower, all
the great museums and what have you, they're all shut down for security reasons.
Yeah, Arc de Triomphe is closed up. These are all places I've been, and it's interesting to think about. And now the people aren't just protesting the diesel tax. They are so fed up. Now they're talking about immigration, poor unemployment rates, like just everything. They are so upset with their government. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back from this break here on Radio Free New York.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good, simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you, call you by name, we can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria, we'll treat you like family. Mark's Pizzeria.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello.
Honey, we need help. The house is freezing.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Furnace won't fire and the house is freezing. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor, 500-HELP. Their heating experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500-HELP? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor, 500-HELP.
You're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, welcome back to Radio Free New York. We are talking about the yellow vests. That's what they're calling the protesters in France who are protesting their government.
So what they do is they don these mandatory fluorescent vests.
Yep.
And that's how they're... that's how they're protesting the government visually.
Yeah,
as the visual cue that we're defying you.
Yeah, and it to me it's interesting. Ironic, interesting, and almost kind of wonder if it's a slap in the face because they're required by law to have these vests, and that's what they're using as the symbol of their protest.
Yeah, I heard it. One source said that there's kind of draconian penalties for not having that dumb vest.
If
you don't have that in your car, presumably, you've got this vest in the event of an emergency, you're fixing something roadside, this makes you more visible.
Yeah. So
kind of a dumb rule, I think, frankly.
Yeah. I'm not for government forcing people to buy stuff. I don't know. What can I say? That's just, So it's interesting to me. These people are taking to the streets, initially peaceful, now becoming violent, more and more violent. Last week or weekend, I'm not sure which one, about 430 people arrested. Now, yesterday, 1,700 people arrested.
Wow.
1,700. And this morning / yesterday, there's a time zone difference, so I'm not really sure if it was this morning or yesterday, but not only did they have 1,700 people arrested, the protesters rose, they built a guillotine, and they have it on display, and they've got the political party of their president's name on the guillotine. There we go. And they're just, they're not giving up. I mean, they are getting so upset, so angry with their government. Because what their government tried to do is sweep this all under the rug. They try to pretend like, oh, it's not a big deal. You guys don't really matter. We're moving forward anyways.
Nobody believes that. Think about the lost tourism dollars alone.
Yeah. And that's really where this came from, because I've got an article here. And
Pate sales are tanking.
Yeah, yeah, things are not doing well. Their finance minister warned that the violent protests sweeping the country are a catastrophe for the nation's economy.
That's a catastrophe.
Yeah, yep, yep. And they say the demonstrators have torched cars, vandalized and looted shops, restaurants, hurled stones into windows, you know, just all over. And yeah, tourists aren't going there. I mean, I'm not going to go vacation in Paris this week. That's for sure. Actually, when I fly to Czech on Saturday, my layover is in Paris. So it'll be
probably
really
be okay
interesting.
In the airport, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I sure hope so. It'll be pretty interesting. But they said they had over 136,000 people taking place in this anti-government protest this weekend. Now, my experience has been, and I don't really know.
136,000?
Yeah, 136,000 this weekend. Now, when I
look up the population of France right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. When I've been to protests here in New York, protesting things like the SAFE Act, for example, we would have significantly more people in attendance than the news and the media would report. So it'd be interesting. I don't know. Is 136 a real number, or is it even more? It's probably more, would be my guess.
67.12 million as of 2017. So you got 136,000. Roughly, I would say France is about one-fifth the size of the U.S.
Okay.
In terms of total population. So these are protests that, if you extrapolated it out on the U.S. population, we'd have over 500,000.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So just a lot of people. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I don't think I've ever been in one place with another 136,000 people in the street before. I mean, that's just.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched a video of a reporter who was in there reporting, talking with people, and they were just talking about why they're protesting. And everybody's coughing and gagging, and you see all this, like, you know, this like smoke around, and they're like, yeah, these are tear gas, that they've been being tear gassed by the police. One of the reporters got shot with a rubber bullet, and you just hear the camera person saying, oh, I can't take it anymore, like, we need to get out of here. So they're like going to the police barricades, and they're like, we're the press, like, let us out. And they were having trouble, like, even getting through the police barricades to, like, get out. And, like, when they finally made it through the police barricades, there's just like people on the ground all over, like trying to get medical attention. The footage really looked like a wartime movie. That's the best I could describe it as.
Street protests run very deep in the French psyche. If you think back to the French Revolution and the numerous minor revolutions that occurred after that, you know, through the 1800s. They're very big on street protests.
They are. And that's actually what a lot of the, even some of the French people said, and that was part of the criticism, is I think the president made some comment like, oh, yeah, the people always protest, so it's not a big deal, or something
well,
like that.
Well, that's exactly that's what you'd expect from a socialist,
yeah.
Which Macron is.
I mean,
he's like a major left wing.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, that's very telling about the left. The political left's attitude towards the people in general, which is that essentially what they are errant bumpkin children who need to be shepherded around and controlled.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very similar to Cuomo's quotes last week where he said that upstate is basically just land. Yeah. You know?
So there you have it, folks. A leftist is a leftist is a leftist.
Yeah. So the other thing I found really interesting is the people that were protesting, because I think the people who are there in the protest always speak volumes about what the protest is and the validity of it. Well, as these reporters are going around talking to people, you've got people from the left and the right together protesting for a common cause. Not just that, you've got lower class people and middle class people, not many, if any, upper class people. But then the other thing that you had is you had police officers taking their riot gear off and their riot helmets off and joining the protesters.
That's just so not a good sign for the government.
No, I don't think it's not.
You don't want that. No.
No. And you had multiple government officials stepping down, leaving the government. So this is serious for France. This is really serious. They need to come together. They need to listen to their people, because what these people are proving is, I mean, what did we say? 136,000 people in the street was at about 0.5% of their population. Based on, you said it was like 68 million.
Yeah, 67 million.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's close to 0.5% of their population. And something that we talk about when we talk about change is it does not take a minority or a majority for change, but rather an extremely vocal, irate minority. And that's what drives change. And that's what we're seeing here in France right now. Is the minority is what's pushing for this change. And if you think that that's not true, look at something like Fight for 15. Fight for 15 is those people were not a majority of the population whatsoever.
It was mostly AstroTurf, too.
They were just, you know, mostly fast food workers who didn't have enough hours to be at work instead of protesting.
Well, at least in Rochester, I know that it wasn't. I mean, not only was it just a few fast food workers, many of them were not local,
and a lot of them all traveled around.
They were bussed in.
Yep.
And they professionally made, you know, protest materials and signage and what have you.
Yep. Yeah, and that's just the thing is, they weren't a majority by any means, but they got a $15 minimum wage passed in New York City, and so I think that
it wasn't all coordinated though. I mean, the protesters came out. They were obviously hirelings. They were brought in for that purpose. And then the trained seals in government all immediately started clapping and saying, "Yes, yes, you're right, by golly. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. We need $15 an hour."
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the, you know, state government did try to fight it, right, multiple times. And it clearly not everybody was on board. And, yeah, there's political agendas in play. Absolutely. But I think the deeper thing is that many people, especially in upstate New York, are always feeling like, oh, we're not the majority, so we can't win. Whatever the issue is. It could be an election. It could be a specific bill. It could be a tax, you know. And I think that the people in upstate, and not that I'm encouraging people to put yellow vests on and torch vehicles. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is that we have this learned helplessness in our nation. And I see it many times among people who they want to complain a lot on social media. They want to talk about how bad it is. But I tell you what, the people in France right now, they feel things are pretty bad, and they're taking some sort of action. Like I said, I'm not condoning that specific action, but they're making stuff happen. People are paying attention to them. And I'll just share with you guys, you know, where that term learned helplessness came from. It came from a study that was done. And it's actually kind of an awful study, to be honest. It's something that when people hear about it, they maybe get a little emotional, a little upset. But this is the truth. This is where this term came from. They did a study and they put a dog in a cage. And there were four sections in the cage. And each section would randomly shock. And so the dog would be in a section of the cage. It would shock. The dog would then move to a different section. It would shock. And then eventually what happened is the dog learned that it didn't matter where in the cage it went. It was random shocking. And because of that random shocking, it felt there was nothing it could do. And eventually the dog just laid on the floor and whimpered. Didn't bother trying to move anymore. Just
gave up.
It just gave up entirely. That's what learned helplessness is. And that's what we're seeing here. Because if you look at what our government has done, specifically state government, especially here in New York, man, we've been put through the ringer time and time and year and year. And you know what? It's so many people, they kind of just sit on their couch and they just take it.
They tune out.
Yep.
That's what's happening. I mean, look at all the outrages at the federal level. There's so many that, you know, we don't have time to enumerate them before the end of the program.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from whatever happened with Benghazi, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, four people dead. who were in the service of their country and were being very brave. Nothing happened. Nothing's happened out of all of this outrage over the 2016 elections. We just have there's never any accountability. The abuses of the IRS. It just goes on and on and on. And so people just finally say, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what I do. We talked about this in the context of the recent election. Might as well just, hey, let's all go out for ice cream and watch some TV tonight.
Yeah. And so I was trying to think a little bit about why is it that the people of New York haven't stood up like the people in France did?
Hasn't gotten bad enough yet?
Yeah, that's some of it, I think. We'll explore that a little bit. When we come back from this commercial, we're going to talk about why haven't the people in New York stood up the way the people in France have. So we'll catch you back after this break on Radio Free New York.
Listening to the voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
Tour the days before Christmas. You can tell by the sound. The face is so nuts, just fast food can be found. Shopping, the school play, decorations, and snow. For quality family food, where can you go? When what to your wondering eyes should appear but a juicy Wahlburger, a frosty root beer, handmade ice cream, crispy fries, even Waldo. Too busy to sit there? Then get it to go. And since Tom Wall's quality and value are things you can see, now you can get home to put up that tree. Tom Walls wishes your family a season of cheer, a wonderful holiday, and a tasty new year. But just as you're settling tonight in your bed, hark! What's that sound that you hear overhead?
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas to all! And make no mistake, it's not a hamburger, it's Tom Walls' ground steak!
A holiday greeting from Tom Walls' family to yours. 9 locations in the metro.
You're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, here we are. We're back on Radio Free New York, continuing the discussion about the yellow vests in France, people protesting their government. Over 100,000 people showed up to protest this weekend, 1,700 of them arrested. And my question before the break that we're going to discuss was, why hasn't this happened in New York? And not that I want it to, but we've been put through the ringer here in New York, especially upstate New York.
And we're about to experience a whole new order of ringer, I think, starting after the first of the year.
I agree. We've got...
we have a monolithic party that really is reminiscent, not so much anything but the old Communist Party in the old Soviet Union.
Yeah, I mean, I always get nervous, and some people might disagree with this, but I get nervous when any one party or group has total power, you know? So I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green, you know, Independence Party. No one party should ever have complete control, and that's what we're going to see come the January 2019 is New York State will be under single party rule.
You know, Andrew, you have no idea how true your statement is because you're a really young guy. I'm not. And I remember what New York State was like in the 1950s and 1960s. Mm. And it was everything that was great about America.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, there was flourishing middle class families in great homes, driving late model cars. Mm-hmm. Kids had the best clothing, the best education. Everybody went on vacation. There was a tremendous optimism that was palpable wherever you went. There was a feeling that we probably live in the greatest state in the greatest country in the history of the world.
Yeah,
and it was a matter of great pride. Mm-hmm. And it's. Now it's so sad and so tragic to see what happened to it, and it really got brought home to me. Every year we take a little sojourn to New York City. Sometimes we take the train, and the train takes you at a at an observable rate of speed through upstate, all the way to the Hudson and then down the Hudson Valley. And upstate is just an economic disaster area.
It is.
It looks like Chernobyl. Wherever the train rolls through, amidst all this breathtaking scenery and beautiful history and great heritage, and it's being so manhandled and mishandled by politicians, most of whom, as far as I'm concerned, couldn't cut it in a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, they probably couldn't, because they give awful, awful service to their customers, you know, and that's essentially what we are. If you look at us as a kind of a certain economic model, you would see that the constituents are really the customers of government. And man, do we get awful, awful service, and we pay a high, high price for that really bad service. But the worst part is there's no alternative. You're a forced customer. You're forced into it. There's one option, stay and kind of take it and suck it up, or go somewhere else. And I actually think that that is one of the reasons this is happening in France, but not in New York State.
Well, of course, the people in France can't escape.
That's exactly my point.
In New York State, you can escape to the Carolinas or Florida or Texas or wherever else you want to go. Yeah. But the French don't have that option, at least not in the numbers that would really be meaningful. But you asked going into the break about why hasn't it happened in New York, and I'm reminded of the old Trotsky quote, and believe me, I'm not a major follower of Leon Trotsky, but I think there's a lot of truth to this quote, and that is that revolution is impossible until it becomes inevitable.
Yeah.
So you just have to, things just reach a kind of a critical mass, and then all of a sudden it takes off. It kind of, you know, you want to look for a historic precedent. Look at what happened in Poland in about 1980.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your wife, I'm sure, can speak to this.
Yeah, well, she wasn't around just yet, but she, absolutely.
No, but I'm sure her parents were involved at all.
No, they were. And actually, it's interesting. Her parents, not to get off topic, but they went through, you know, not just being neighbors to Poland, but then also when Czech Republic, they got their freedom, which was the least bloody revolution ever. I think they actually called it the Velvet Revolution, because it was kind of like, yeah, we don't want communism anymore. Get out. Okay, bye, see ya. Like, you know, it was the most, the least amount of bloodshed ever for a revolution.
And what a tortured history Czechoslovakia had, too. You think of what the partitioning under Hitler, being sold out by Chamberlain and by the Allies prior to World War II. Those poor benighted people of Czechoslovakia.
No, they were occupied just so many times, you know, so many times, and sometimes it's almost like a joke over there, like, oh, I wonder who's gonna occupy us next, you know. But they've always, as a people, gotten through it.
They were occupied so much they had a checkout time every day.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think the point that we hit earlier about in New York State, why isn't this happened? The fact that people can move to another state, you know, I think is probably one of the largest reasons, because we've lost over a million New Yorkers in the last 8 years, a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a million people that, if they didn't have the ability to leave, I think some of them would have turned to this type of action.
Perhaps. It's kind of hard to tell, but it's also very important to note that those people who left New York are the wage earners. These are the productive members of society, the people who contribute to the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to note the attitude of the political left towards this kind of exodus. And they shrug their shoulders and say, hey, that's a million less people to vote against us. So we're all in favor of that, because you got to remember, leftists are major proponents of big government. They love government, and they love the control the government has over the people.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've got some comments coming in here on the stream. Let's see. Jason says, because New York government spends an unbelievable amount of money just trying to control everything people do in life, stripping their God-given and constitutional rights, than they do actually trying to make the state better as a whole. That is the sad truth. Spend millions trying to push through a worthless bill or fix a bridge. I think he was talking, I think that was from our topic just a little bit earlier, about just how bad government is at giving service to the people here in New York. And yeah, no, I agree 100%. We spend so much money here in New York than really anybody else does on programs that have, in many cases, been unsuccessful and haven't yielded anything. I mean, it's just, besides rewarding, you know, the governor's appointees, his buddies, their crony capitalists, the people that fund their campaigns, us, by and large, as a people, are getting less and less and less for our tax dollar every single year.
Well, you have that arrogance going on that you see from Governor Cuomo, that I don't have to be accountable. I'm never going to be held accountable. I can do whatever I want. As long as I'm elected and I'm able to launder my campaign contributions through big labor and through the education industry in New York State, I'm just always going to be here, and nobody's ever going to call me to account.
Yeah.
Well, how many people in his administration have gone down for major crimes?
Mm.
Yeah, you mean to tell me that none of that touches him?
So many. Yeah. No, I agree. It's almost hard to keep track at this point, because so many people keep being indicted, accused, going to jail. And the sentences they serve, too, on top of that, is way, way less than you or I would serve. I mean, they, a year in jail, like, for embezzling all this money and all this other stuff. Like, you and I would be locked up. We'd be locked up.
Yeah, if you stole $75 worth of stuff from Walmart, you'd have a longer sentence.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. So I think what we can take away from this here in New York is that the people of New York have really forgotten about the power that they hold over their government.
I don't know if it's that as much as they think that there's nothing they can do about it. And you mentioned, you made a reference to this earlier in the program about how the Democrats have a political advantage over Republicans. And I think that's less of a problem than the complete fecklessness and incompetence of the GOP in New York State in general. The leadership is simply not there, leads to the suspicion that it is sold out to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. They field these atrocious candidates, and then they don't fund them. Then they don't stand in back of them. Mark Molinaro comes to mind. Rob Mastorino comes to mind.
Yep, yep. And where are those guys, by the way?
I don't even know what Rob Astorino's doing now, because he's also been deposed as Westchester County exec.
He's in finance now.
Okay.
He's out of the political arena. And, you know, we talk about that sometimes, is the idea of these people, they pop up and then they disappear. Never see them again. So, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, things are ran just terribly poorly. The leadership is very broken. And there's a lot of learned helplessness. There's just a lot of people that think that they will have no chance to make change, and they choose to either stay home, to maybe just do stuff on the internet, or pack up and leave. And all those are things that we're seeing every day.
Well, you think of the older population, you know, they want to have some peace and quiet and have a good time in their remaining years. So why do they need this grief?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So they take their savings and they take their, or in many cases, a lot of people really still like New York. They yeah. like the scenery, and there's nothing, I've always said, there's nothing prettier than the Finger Lakes in the summertime, right?
Yep.
So what they do is they find a really nice double wide in Sarasota or Bradenton or whatever. And they live there 181 days of the year, yep. put Florida plates on their car, and don't pay New York State income taxes anymore.
Yep, yep. No, absolutely. And one of the ways, you know, we don't want people to have to be in that situation, right? So one of the ways that we can start working towards this, start working against this, is by discussing home rule which is something Nathan called about earlier in the show, something that was discussed at an event over this last weekend. So just to kind of give a little bit of background to people that maybe didn't hear Friday's show, Larry and I are out, we're at it, we're pushing for
this is all. Larry Sharp.
Larry Sharp,
to,
yep. Larry Sharp and I, we are out doing what we said we would, which was we weren't going to stop, we would continue talking about these issues. So Larry did a three-day trip last week. It ended in Grand George, where I met him, and we actually participated in the Liberty Den event, which, if you're not familiar with the Liberty Den, go check them out. They've actually got a lot of articles online. They're writing about current events that are happening here in New York State. They've got a very active Facebook page, over 50,000 members, and they are really trying to shed some light on what is going on here in New York State, and what you can do about it, how to do it, the whole everything. So when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about home rule. I'm going to talk about what we discussed and what I think the people of upstate New York should work on for 2019 to get some of these liberties back from our oppressive government.
Radio Free New York. From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has with a big pet chain stores will never have Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard to find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us here on Radio Free New York. We are now talking about home rule. And what is home rule? What is that? What's it mean? And why should we push for it? So home rule is essentially what Larry and I talked about throughout the campaign, about letting counties be counties. That is the basics of home rule. That is your county, starting with just a resolution, which, to be 100% honest with you, doesn't hold a lot of weight. A resolution does not hold a lot of weight, but it's really the first step in making this possible. So home rule is telling Albany that, no, we're a county. We don't have to be accountable to you in Albany or to the state, per se. We have our own local representatives, and we don't want you, as the state, forcing us with unfunded mandates to spend our money on things that we don't believe in, things that we don't need, things that we don't want. We have a budget. We have a budget already. In Monroe County, where I am right now, is it still technically Monroe County?
Livingston.
Just over the border here?
Yeah.
But where I live, 85% of our county budget is actually tied up by state unfunded mandates.
That's pretty typical. I probably this county and all the surrounding ones are within a percentage point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the idea of home rule is no. We're not going to follow your rules on this. We know better here locally what we need than the people in Albany do. So no, stop it. That's kind of the basic idea. But it's even a little more than that, because it's not just unfunded mandates. It's things like the SAFE Act. We can say in a home rule county, no, we don't recognize that law. We're not going to enforce it. We're not going to arrest people. We're not going to prosecute people. We don't recognize that law in Monroe County or Livingston County or Genesee County or whatever county. And this is really the first step in taking back your government and bringing it local.
So it sounds like a great idea, but practically speaking, how would that be implemented? I mean, for example, you brought up the SAFE Act. Mm-hmm. So our local sheriff in Monroe County or out here in Livingston County says, you know, we're not going to enforce the SAFE Act, but you still got the state police to contend
sure.
with,
yeah,
to
yeah.
patrol
well,
the same
right.
roads.
Yep.
So if you have the misfortune of being pulled over with, 12 rounds in your mag, you're still going to get arrested.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So this is, as I mentioned, the very beginning of the process. And a resolution, which is what the Liberty Den is working on putting together, is really the first step. Now, why would we even look at this? And then I'll get to kind of to your point here in a second. Why would we do this? Why would we even consider it? Well, you remember the divide upstate thing, right? That seems to be kind of coming back. People are like, after this last election, going, man, we as upstate didn't elect this guy as our governor, yet here he is. He's our governor. Dividing upstate would require a constitutional convention or an act of God in the legislature.
Probably both.
Yeah,
probably a constitutional both. Convention yeah. convened by an act of God.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I forget how far apart we get to vote on constitutional conventions. I think it's every 30 years. So we missed that chance 2 years ago that it's not going to happen for another 28 years. Now, on the other side, the legislative thing isn't going to happen either.
No.
So a resolution is essentially us pushing our elected officials on the county level to adopt the similar paperwork for the divide upstate. So there's some drafted papers. It's not fully finalized, but the Liberty Den is going to produce it, get it to every county. It's something Larry and I are going to put our support behind to help begin the idea in the conversation. Really, this is to drive a conversation about, we are different cultures. We are different counties. We have different belief systems. We should not be forced to follow things that we don't believe in. Very similar to let you be you, let me be me. Let's leave each other alone. Everybody's happy. So the resolution, you're right. Somebody pulls you over, you're going to jail as today. Unless you have a district attorney that says they won't press charges. Because you could have a DA that says, no, we're not taking the case. You could have a judge that just rules to dismiss the case. And that's part of the steps is starting to build that culture. It's not an overnight thing. It's going to be really hard, but this is the first step. The next step would be, after you get these resolutions passed and build the education in your community, you start identifying some counties that this would be successful. You get the signatures and you get it on the back of the ballot as a referendum.
Yeah, and I think there's revolution is impossible until it becomes inevitable thing.
Exactly.
What we need is a critical mass of 62 counties in New York State. I believe that, what was it, 7 of them voted in Cuomo?
Yeah.
So you have the 5 boroughs in New York,
a couple
counties on Long Island, and then Tompkins, which is, San Francisco and the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
Then the big cities of Rochester and Buffalo and Albany, but the rest of the state was solidly against Cuomo. So you'd have to get, I'm thinking, 50 counties. If you got 50 counties to sign on for this, you'd really have something going.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so we actually did this with the SAFE Act. We got resolutions passed, I think, in like 58 or 60 counties, if I remember. The thing was, we didn't know at the time what the next step was. The next step was the referendum on the back of the ballot.
Right.
So now that we know this, we have to take this, take what we've learned, take what we know, make that be the next step, build the momentum, use the media coverage that would get to educate the population about why this is so important, identify some counties where it'd be successful, do the referendum, get it passed, rinse, wash, repeat, get a few more counties and keep pushing this. And then it could be successful. And I really think it can be. So that is a lot of what we talked about at that Liberty Den meeting. There was 30, 40 plus people in the room. And this is hopefully I don't offend them. It was kind of a rural spot, So to have 30 some people in the room, that was a big crowd for that area. And that was really good to discuss that with those people and see the people who are willing to and the people who said, I'm willing to stand alone in my county, in my town, to make this happen.
Got to start someplace.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
And you know, I think it would be a great thing. I'm not poo-pooing this. I'm just being devil's advocate here trying
absolutely.
To test all of these propositions, because if we're going to do this, we need to do something that stands a reasonable likelihood of working.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Otherwise, we're just going to reinforce our feelings of defeatism.
Of defeatism,
and
yep.
we're not ever going to get out of this. No. But it would be great if New York State, the once great Empire State, were to be the shining example for the rest of the country in reclaiming our civil liberties and our basic freedoms.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that we discussed, speaking of our civil liberties, is I brought up the Ben Wassel case again. And I asked the people there the same thing I'm going to ask the listeners today, to mark your calendar for January 17th at 10 o'clock a.m., where there is going to be an appeals hearing for the court case of the very first man arrested under the SAFE Act. He was a veteran in our armed services, served multiple tours. He's a disabled veteran. He was disabled well overseas. And I reached out to Jim Ostrowski, who is his attorney. I talked to him this morning via text just real quick and asked if there's anything that he would like me to kind of like relay to the listeners as I talk about this. And he said, you know, when you show up, try to be there early so you can get a seat. Dress because it is a high court. So, you know, come in looking respectable, nice, and be on your best behavior. You know, model, you know, the behavior of citizens who are concerned, but are watching and are paying attention. And then that there will be a meeting following with additional details to be announced later. So if you can, mark your calendar for January 17th, 10 a.m. That's going to be in Rochester at the courthouse on 50 East Ave. And I really think that we need to get as many people in that courthouse as we can.
Yeah, I wonder if how much seating there is in those courts.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He said show up early if you want a seat, which leads me to believe that either it's normally full or that there aren't many seats. But yeah, we want to pack the place. We want to fill the room. If it's standing room only, even better. You know, we need everybody in our system, you know, from executive branch to judicial branch. You know, we need them to see and recognize that the people are watching. You know, we are not the yellow vests today. You know, people aren't flipping cars in the street and saying,
don't wear a yellow vest.
Don't wear a yellow vest. That's not what we're going for. But I think these officials, they need to see that the people are watching and that we expect a certain behavior. And that is a constitutional behavior, behavior that we elected these people to uphold.
So home rule, this is going to be, I would assume, a returning topic here on Radio Free New York.
I think so, yeah. As the process comes along, as more of the paperwork becomes available, we are working with a number of organizations who are coming together to try and make this happen. Larry and I are throwing our support behind it as well. And we anticipate that the Libertarian Party will be supporting. And who knows? We'll get as many people together as we can, and we're going to push this through as hard as we can.
Have you given any thought to directly appealing to the county legislatures upstate?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's, and in fact, we will help show people how to do that. Larry and I, we always say that we try and model the behavior we want to see. So you'll see me at some point in the Monroe County Legislature. I believe you're allotted 2 minutes to speak. So once we get further along, you'll see me, you know, there in the legislation chambers talking about this issue and why I think that it's so important that we have home rule in my county. And I hope that the people who watch and supported Larry and I throughout the campaign, I hope that you guys see that and decide that you're going to stand up and do the same thing. And I think that we'll be very happy with the results long term.
Great. So if they have any questions about home rule or want to chat you up about this, you have some contact info you'd like to pass along.
Sure. Yeah. Just find me on Facebook. Facebook's probably your easiest way to get a hold of me. Just go to Facebook.com. Many of you probably have a Facebook account. And just search Andrew Hollister for New New York. My page will pop up there. Just make sure you like the page. That way you can see the updates as they come through. You can message the page directly. And if you're on YouTube, the YouTube community, they're starting to pick up a little bit. Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube so you get notified when these go live. You can always watch them later. I always let YouTube save them so you can watch them, you know, whenever works for you, whether that's at night or a different day. Make sure you hit subscribe there so that you get all of the episodes available to you.
All right, that's Radio Free New York for today. Andrew Hollister, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on WISL.